One of the main questions I get is, what about my water? Dr. Pompa, what water filtration unit that you get? Well, you get that question answered in this episode and more. We talk about whole house filtration, why that may be the key for your health, and also point of service units. You know, what do you have in your kitchen? What are you drinking every day? Well, look, even I talk about why your water is different than my water and what you can do about that in this episode. So this is the water episode. This is what you asked for. So stay tuned to this episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cellular Healing TV. I'm Ashley Smith. Today, we'll be talking all about water quality and what kind of water treatment system Dr. Pompa personally recommends. And we have an extra special guest today, too. Warren Phillips is back to join in on the conversation, which we are really excited about. Our guest today is Ryan Kuipers, and he's an engineer at Dime Water, which is his family business specializing in water treatments. He'll discuss the current state of our water quality and explain why it's critical to treat the water in your life. Dr. Pompa, Warren, and Ryan will all discuss the treatment options available to you, and please be sure to check out our show notes for links to find out more or to purchase. Okay, so let's get started and welcome Dr. Pompa, Warren Phillips, and Ryan Kuipers to the show. This is Cellular Healing TV.
Well, Ryan from Dime Water, it's about time you made this show. Welcome to Cell TV.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we even have Warren here as a special guest, and you'll find out why, folks. Warren, welcome.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I've been just want to bring some entertainment and some science on one of my favorite topics.
Yeah, you know what, Warren? Actually, one of your number one YouTube videos was the water video. Ryan, he was showing the water units that we have in our homes. And by the way, this show is long overdue, because how many people ask me, you know, show me your whole house water system and your water systems. Well, here we go. This is the show today. So stay tuned. This is the show you guys all asked for. So this is going to be a lot of fun. All right. Well, let's bring the problem right at it here. You know, Ryan, I mean, it just amazes me that people don't have water systems in their home. I mean, I take it from point of service and I have a whole house. I go out to dinner with some really prestigious doctors and I watch them drink tap water.
Oh, I can't stand it.
Right? Warren, you're there, right?
It's that drives me batty.
I won't do it. I think that if they just really knew it was in the water, I don't know that they would do that. But Ryan, let's talk about it. What is in water? And I know there's a difference of city water, cities, but you know, let's start there with the problem.
Okay. Well, for the most part, if we look at what is flowing in our water supply, cities, I mean, first of all, we live in America. For the people that are listening from America, our water is tremendous. Our government requires that municipalities bring it up to a certain level. So we're incredibly lucky at least to have potable water coming out of our sinks. And they do a great job to ensure biological growth isn't there, but there are some things that they just don't have the time, money, or energy to take care of. One is pharmaceuticals that pass through people's systems. And obviously over the decades, we as Americans have used so many more drugs. We're prescribed to a greater extent, and our bodies, and there's not the magical drug that gets dialed into your specific weight. Well, that passes through your system, not completely utilized, and then it moves into the water supply. Look at the back of your toothpaste. Look at your deodorant. All these components and chemical compositions that we use in our day-to-day life end up in some way, shape, or form getting passed back through. And as I said, a lot are dealt with, but a lot just linger in there. And if we don't see situations where people are becoming ill from them, it's generally ignored. But occasionally you have these flare-ups. I mean, everyone knows about Flint, Michigan. That's a whole different situation, because that was just a lack of foresight in terms of a water supply affecting old plumbing. But once again, aging infrastructure, intensive use of chemicals to a greater extent, year after year after year, limited treatment of that, and the result is greater problems. It's impossible to consider the fact that a university out there will do a 40-year study to determine how much drinking XYZ over the years will affect you. But there are reasons, obviously, that Alzheimer's is on the rise, allergies are on the rise. Things are occurring because of our environment and the fact we've been an industrialized nation for well over 100 years now. I mean, aggressively industrialized. And part of that challenge is then you trust the city up to a certain point and you have to take the ball the last 5 yards, if you will, and get it into the end zone from the perspective of a safe, drinkable water that you can control. That is one thing you know you can control. You can have a system under your sink that you maintain that guarantees you quality water. You can't control the air you breathe, and food is questionable. Whether or not organic by no means creates a situation where you're protecting yourself from whatever may be in your food supply.
You know, you actually mentioned drugs. I don't know if you all saw this. It was just in the paper up near Seattle. So they're finding drugs, Prozac, caffeine, cholesterol meds, ibuprofen, bug spray. This was all found in the fish up in that area. So they're testing the fish and realizing that all these things are in high concentrations. I mean, I don't know if people realize that. I mean, it's like, so when you're ingesting your water, you had said that they don't have filtration sophisticated enough to remove these drugs. So like, we're all being exposed to these things unknowingly. I mean, that's,
let me add to that. It brings up a point. I remember a study back when I just got out of graduate school. I studied toxicology, low temperature aqueous geochemistry. That's why I love water filtration. We found Kyle Cuppers, Ryan's brother, the other scientist here, and his dad, who's a chemical engineer, correct?
Mechanical
engineer, who founded the company that they have, Dime Water. And so anyway, I remember reading this study from the University of Montana, where I went to graduate school. That's where I got my master's. And they showed the infertility of a large animal, an elk. These are big 1,000-pound animals. And they found infertility. And not only infertility, but only males being born because of the contraceptive drugs being found in the Bitterroot River. I believe it was the Bitterroot. Don't quote me on that. But the elk population that they studied were becoming infertile and only having, I believe, male offspring. So this stuff, if it can affect a 1,000-pound animal, what is it doing to your daughter, your son, is hormonal system? It's crazy.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I by no means, it's a weird look. It's a weird example to give. However, the pill has been available for many decades now and has a tremendous amount of usage. But with estrogen not being taken out of the water supply that comes from the pill on a regular basis, anybody that has a set of eyes can see that the average 18-year-old looks like the average 15-year-old, or the average 15-year-old today looks like what the average 18-year-old did 30 years ago. Why is that? There's a lot of other factors that can come into play, but there are chemical effects of what's passing through the water system and what's being ingested by the average person on a day-to-day basis that does affect our health.
Yeah, you know, you brought up Flint, Michigan, and I had the privilege of going there and actually teaching doctors really how to get the lead out of the kids, not just the kids, but everyone that was affected by the water. But one of the saddest parts is they didn't realize that the lead went deep into the tissue. So when the blood samples started becoming normal, the problem was over. But, you know, one of the points that I make at my seminar is that Flint, Michigan, when I first heard of it, I said, oh boy, that's not just a Flint, Michigan problem. That's a national problem. And it's because we have doctors that we train all around the country and we test people and we see massive lead levels. Well, it wasn't shortly after that that it started coming out. Pennsylvania waters near Pittsburgh, higher than Flint. California waters, higher than Flint. Detroit, I mean, it went through all this thing because they started testing water. And again, it was a mistake made there, you know, in Flint, Michigan. However, we have high lead levels in many parts of the water, from the piping, the soldering, and it's very difficult to filter it out. So heavy metals are another massive exposure. And you know, you all actually Dime Water test a lot of the water because that's how you design some of the filters, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But you know, what other types of chemicals are you seeing, or even contaminants, heavy metals, etc., in some of the water you're testing?
Well, if we want to stick with municipal supplies, because well supplies become exotic and all over the map, heavy metals are, as you just mentioned, a major concern. What's happening too is chlorine has traditionally been used. Chloramines, way back in the early, turn of the 20th century, were used heavily, and then they were pulled back because of the war efforts in World War I and World War II. But so chlorine became king, so to speak. Yeah. The problem with chlorine is it's a tremendous killer of biologics. It does a wonderful job getting rid of biologics, but it doesn't have a lot of staying power. So now, because we've had these incidents here and there with cryptosporidium or other outbreaks throughout the country, municipalities are starting to add ammonia to already chlorinated water to create chloramines. Difference between chlorine and chloramines is the fact that the chloramines aren't quite as powerful in terms of being biological killers, but they have great staying power. And they're a headache for us in the industry because we want to remove them as well as the chlorine, but chlorine as a compound is much simpler to deal with. Because then essentially what happens if you're able to break the chlorine and the ammonia free, then you have to worry about independently dealing with the chlorine, which we know how to do easily, but then getting the ammonia out of the water is another challenge in itself. So municipalities are doing what they can to make sure that the treatment is as aggressive as possible, as cheaply and effectively as they can do it. And at the same time, they're pushing pH up in the water tremendously too, which is a good thing to some extent. However, it becomes problematic when just putting that pH, because they want to minimize the risk of any type of corrosion and any type of ripping away, especially with that older infrastructure we're dealing with. As the country ages, all the infrastructure ages with it.
But by the way, that's what happened at Flint. I mean, the acidity actually dramatically changed. And then what happened was, is, you know, it started taking what was corroded on the pipes right into the water supply. They didn't put the additive in, just as you're saying. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the problems, you know, we have a lot of people here seeking their health, right? And, you know, people looking to get healthy. And I really, truly believe that if you're not, you know, cleaning your water, you're going to have a very difficult time. What you're saying, you know, that would have a dramatic effect on the microbiome, which we're realizing controls your immune system, you know, how your brain works. I mean, you know, all these factors. And yet people are taking, spending, you know, all this money on bacteria, good bacteria, probiotics, et cetera, and paying attention to their diet. And yet your water is literally killing not just the bacteria in your water, but the bacteria in your gut. It's a big deal.
And on your skin.
Yeah, it's true. Well, with that said, you know, I think, gosh, Warren, it was one of the videos that we did, right? And we were talking about the other exposures, and our argument was why we believe, you know, whole house filtration is a must. And we were talking about, I think the statistic was 11 glasses of water, one 10-minute shower is equivalent to drinking 10 or 11 chlorinated glasses of water. I don't know how accurate that is. Obviously, chlorine levels are different everywhere. But the point was, is you breathe in chlorinated water. Ryan, I mean, what is the truth around that? Is that still kind of accurate?
Well, that's an incredibly valid point. I can't compare the drinking the water to what it is in terms of shower length, but chlorine is less of a concern to drink. Nobody recommends it. Everyone has their experience at some point in life when they were a child that played at the pool all day, and then by the end of the day, your throat is sore and you're a little bit hoarse because you were drinking chlorinated water in some way, shape, or form the whole day. When it comes to the drinking, though, where that water is going is into a pit of acid called your stomach. There's less of a concern there than when you are in a warm environment with hot water that's being aerosolized or put into an aerosol form, and then you're breathing it. Your lungs are much more susceptible. There's a reason why mustard gas was so effective in World War I. It's a lot more dangerous in terms of a gaseous form than it is in a liquid form. So taking that chlorine out and not giving it the opportunity to become an irritant is incredibly important.
Yeah, and then, you know, I don't know how much water today, Ryan, has fluoride still in it. I know there's been now a push to take fluoride out, but the aluminum industry and other industries are, you know, want to keep it back in. Fluoride, unlike chlorine, extremely dangerous, linked to bone cancer in boys, obviously even some neurodegenerative conditions. What's going on with fluoride in water?
It really hasn't changed in terms of the levels, even with the pushback. I don't really understand the reasoning behind putting it into the water supply. The argument historically has been health of teeth. It keeps your teeth stronger because bones suck up fluoride and make them stronger. But my take primarily on fluoride is it's less of a concern from a whole home perspective or worried about it passing through the semi-permeable membrane called your skin in the shower, but much more of a concern if you're ingesting it. Right. And that's exactly why dealing with the chlorine from a brief of whole home treatment and then having the fluoride removed by an RO membrane for point of use is really the best 1-2 punch you can
have. The RO, it does remove the fluoride, which...
Yes. I mean, nothing is 100% guarantee. It probably is in the range of 80 to 95%. But if you're already dealing with fluoride levels below one part per million, so somebody has problems Mahomes, trying to visualize that. It's like, imagine a football stadium of a million people. Well, one person is a fluoride molecule. If you take 85% of that person, now you get into the part per billion level, even the part per trillion level. And the potential of it being a carcinogen is very minimized on that end. I mean, our own membranes are not perfect, but they're the best we have out there to deal with.
You know, I know I don't want, this is the show to just talk about fluoride. I'll let Warren speak to this, but you know, fluoride is extremely toxic, and you mentioned it hardening the teeth. You know, it's really a misnomer. It actually creates a softening and a temporary hardening. It's, you know, and there's so much information now on the dangers of fluoride. And I guess the question is why are we still putting it in the water? But Warren, you can talk about the origins of how it even got in there and why it's still in there.
Well, it comes back to the environmental consultant day. So some environmental consultant like me went to an industry, and I've done this personally. I've taken old bunker sea oil and I resold it to be burned in a pulp mill plant, which was contaminating the air quality of Missoula, Montana. That pulp mill is now out. I just talked to my pastor who lives there and said, how's the inversions? He said, well, a lot better since the pulp mill's gone. So what they do is they go in and say, hey, look, if I can take your waste and sell it or give it away or ship it to a water treatment plant, which is what I also used to do. I'd take contaminated water. If it was below a certain level of contaminants, I would ship it by a truck to a, this is going down a road, but you know, it's cool information. I would try to sell that to a water treatment facility, not sell it, get rid of it for free, right? Instead of paying a dollar per gallon. And you're thinking hundreds of thousands of dollars they would take to do that. So this is what they did. They went to the aluminum industry, and they had, it's one of the industries, and there's lots of industries that use fluoride. This comes out as a waste, either as a waste or a byproduct. And they went, they created this false pretense because of this one study that it hardens your teeth, the one that you both spoke of.
By the way, just because it hardens something doesn't mean it's not more brittle, which is actually the case. It could be harder and more brittle, but go ahead.
Yeah, so they on that one study, they said, look, this is safe, and this will help out. They sold a bill of goods to the dentist. They sold a bill of goods to the water supply. They made a mistake because they saw the hardening, but they didn't have the foresight to think further down the road of the effects that it has on the thyroid and other things. There wasn't a long-term study, and this is just what we did back then. We didn't think it through. We haven't thought it through with amalgam fillings. We didn't think it through on asbestos. We're not thinking it through on fiberglass. We just don't think it through. We're not thinking it through on vaccines. We're not thinking it through in a lot of areas, and then there's this history, and then when they figured out, they try to back up, and they really don't get there. So what we did is we dropped it into the water supply. Now we're trying to back it back out. But they're, again, it's a constant battle. But they got rid of it for free. And these companies, which had to spend a buck a gallon to get rid of it, are getting rid of it for free. And that's how it happened.
Because it's so toxic. It was expensive.
Yeah. It's just like amalgam filling. It's a class 3 hazardous waste.
Yeah, it's incredible. All right, so let's talk solutions. That's why we're here. Both of us just absolutely love your units. And you're going to find out why we love their units. You all are building some of the best, I believe, the best units out there for the best price. And so let's talk about
that. Let me preface this, Dan. This was a 6-month find.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Warren has done more homework. I lean to him on this, around this water filtration than anyone I know. So go ahead, Warren.
And the doctors that, you know, there's some decent units out there, but what I looked for is someone who actually knew the science and someone could actually produce a product that could remove fluoride from a whole house perspective, because I was living in Cranberry Township at the time. There was tons of fluoride in the water. I just didn't want to deal with it, whether it was in the shower drinking. That's one thing that I do not compromise is drinking water when I'm out as well. GMO, like those are my gut microbiome. Those are just uncompromised. Well, I eat a little bit of sugar every once in a while. Sure. Well, I eat some non-organic food. Sure. Get a few pesticides at a low level. I'll risk that. I won't risk GMOs. I won't risk water, especially in Park City. Holy cow. Super toxic.
Heavy metals.
Yeah. Heavy metals. So research these guys, and the things that I loved about them, they could do everything I wanted to do. They sent the water sample in for me to make sure that, you know, they can do some bench chemistry stuff to figure out what's going on with my water. Really worked with me. And then their units, you didn't have to replace the cartridges, because I was looking at these things. They sell them to you cheap, and then the ongoing replacement or the ongoing care of your filter when they come in every 6 months, it became highly expensive. Their units lasts. They use the best technology that lasts. It's not ripping off the customer on the maintenance of the units and buying more filters over and over again. So I love that about their units. And your dad, quite honestly, Mike is quite the genius. I talked to him the other day again. So this is a company that I haven't found anybody that brings high quality science-based water quality. And from my background in toxicology and chemistry and water filtrations and activated silica beads and all this stuff, we are able to talk about the chemistry. And if you know the chemistry, you can really develop great systems, and they've wrote the book on it. So that's how we came to find these guys. Like, it was literally, Dan, that was like 2006, something like that. So we're pushing, 12, 13 years since we got your first unit.
Same whole house along with me. I moved for every 3 years,
Yeah, when we've never done a podcast, and we were like, oh my gosh, I was talking to Ryan and your mom just jumped on here before. We talk on the phone all the time. And I'm like, our listeners just don't know the importance. They knew the importance, but they don't know the resources, and they're buying units. Let's take, for example, Ryan, I'll just set you loose. They're going to Costco. Now, it's better than not, but they're buying an RO system for XYZ, $300-$400 from Costco. But let's talk about some of these other units and some of the science behind why yours are, let's just be honest, a little bit superior.
With the point of services that you offer, Ryan, and then we'll go, that means, your drinking water point of service in your kitchen.
Yeah.
And then we'll move into whole house. We already said that we believe everyone should have a whole house, and I believe you guys made it affordable to do so. But all right, so why is your point of service unit different than the one you could buy at Costco or anywhere else?
Okay, now Costco, as you just said, or as Warren just said, the price point is incredibly enticing. You can get into those units for under $200 under normal situations. I actually pulled a picture up on my camera when I was looking through some of my old photos and saw it was on sale for $139 once. That's crazy inexpensive. However, this is the catch. It's very much like printers. There's a general quality. I mean, to sell something that cheaply, you need to cut corners on quality in terms of the components themselves, whether or not an elbow will break or something will leak, or just from the standpoint of how long the membrane will last or the quality that it provides when you're using it. But here's where they really get you. They want to deal with a point of sale, and then they want you to just cartridges. They don't provide service. There's no company backing on it. They don't want you to really bother them on their customer service number. So it's a snap and click type system where the replacement cartridges will snap in easily, are very user friendly. The difference is you're paying 5 to 6x on that snap in cartridge. So like a printer, they'll give you the printer for cheap and they'll get you on the ink over time. So your break even point will easily be somewhere within the 3 to 4 year range. And then you're dealing with a system that if you're lucky enough to have it still functioning properly, you're replacing all the components on it at a 6 to 12 month clip, generally 6, and our systems have more common user-friendly components that are replaced on an annual basis, and membranes generally last 5 years, as opposed to them recommending you replace it at 2 or 3, something along those lines. So that's the big take. There's some other efficiencies associated with it. We came up with, to our knowledge, the first 1-to-1 ratio. Most of these systems that come out of Home Depot, come out of Costco, put 4 gallons of water, essentially what we call concentrate water, drain water, where the contaminants are taken to drain, down the drain to 1 gallon of water as you're creating the drink. Ours are 1-to-1 and even get as efficient as 3 gallons of product water to 1 gallon of drain, which makes a huge difference to some people in certain places. Being in Southern California, water is a greater concern here. This is a coastal desert. People seem to forget about that when they want lawns and palm trees, but that's just the aura of it all. In some parts of the country, it's not as important, but it is wasteful. And water is going to become more critical as it becomes more contaminated and becomes more expensive. People just don't feel the need to send more water down the drain.
Where's your unit cost point of service? Where do you start?
Point of service start a unit that would make 36 gallons per day of water. So that seems like a lot of water, but it's mainly about recovery rate. If you use up a 2 gallon tank, how long will it take to fill? Is somewhere in the 400 range, and our high-end system is 1200.
All right, and what's behind you there? Because that's a heck of a use.
Yeah, so this is our newest, and just let me know if I'm getting too off kilter here. I'm trying to use the tablet to make it work. This is called our DRO 100 HE+. So this is that 1-to-1 ratio And this is also a system that the black pump you see in the, I guess it would be top right corner for the viewers, is a permeate pump. That is essentially what does a couple things. It creates that 3-to-1 ratio of product versus drain. In addition, improves the quality of the water coming out, because when you don't have back pressure from your storage tank, you get even better quality water coming out of the membrane because it's not fighting a pressure dynamic from what's coming out versus what's pushing back. In addition, this system has higher end pre-filters. Most pre-filters on standard units will have a 5 micron to take out debris, dirt, and a carbon block to deal with chlorine to protect the membrane. This has a system, or it has enhanced carbon, but also has a media we use in our whole home systems called KDF that deals with the heavy metals. So it makes life easier for the membrane on that end. And what you see with the clear container is actually, this is where we get into pH adjustment. This is an alkaline-based unit where you can raise your pH after the fact. A lot of it has to do with, I mean, well, go ahead.
I was going to say, because in RO units, they become weakly acidic, right? And, you know, you don't want to drink weakly acidic water, so you put the little bit of alkalinity back into it. The alkalinity capacity is not going to be like super drinking alkaline water, but it's going to bring it up to there's a big difference between alkalinity and buffering capacity. So you can have alkalinity, right, but it can be changed really easily back and forth from 6 to 8, just with a drop of water. So it makes it a lightly buffered alkaline water, just to make that clear. It's not going to drive your alkalinity. Like Dr. Pompa would say, you don't want to drive your alkalinity in one direction. It's lightly alkaline. It just balances it out.
There's all these new alkalinity units out there that are making people's guts alkaline, and that's a negative. This is just to bring it back to where a normal water.
Right. Well, we've experienced, for the most part, what we're experiencing is we're at the mercy of the delivery water from the city, wherever that city may be. And if the cities are trying to push their pH up a little bit to deal with those corrosion issues, we're in situations now where these alkaline units are still useful. But when a city once upon a time, let's say, delivered at neutral 7 pH, and then the RO unit itself would maybe drink it down to 6.5. You're weakly acidic. You don't necessarily want to drink that. You prefer to be a little bit above neutral or neutral. Right. Then these units were great to then bring that up. But you're only getting about a 1 pH adjustment upward with a sacrificial cartridge like this. In order to get more aggressive, which we don't recommend, because the magic point seems to be about 8.3. That's when you get to the natural point of pH. When you start getting above that, especially when you get into the 10 range, you're dealing with hydroxyl OH, which is way too aggressive. Yeah. But it's too much of a good thing. It's like I'm not going to call it a craze by any means, because it's definitely more beneficial than more acidity. But like vitamin D many years ago, people, more vitamin D the better. Well, yeah, too much of anything is going to be a problem. So a system like this allows you the adjustment. And if let me try to point this out for everybody. There's a dial here in this spot, and that allows you to adjust it. Because yeah, it's not just purely about the pH. It's about taste. Some people, we're all unique and we all have different tastes, and some people love alkaline water. Some people don't. Some people feel as though there's a chalky taste when there's too much. You can dial it in and out however you want it to adjust pH from a number perspective or taste desire from that perspective. And that's what makes it so user-friendly to the public.
And you mentioned something that I've never seen a unit have like this. It has the KDF in it, which you taught me, because I had a concern that these units have gotten more efficient, but it can at times create bacteria in the tank, either from the back end or the front end. But the KDF actually from the front end eliminates that, because there's an natural antiseptic in the KDF. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, KDF is essentially a biocide. It does kill any biologics that get through, which obviously is applied in our whole home units and on this end. There's two sides of an RO. ROs aren't closed systems. They are from the standpoint that you're getting the water from the city and then you sending the water through a unit. But remember, at the end of an RO system, you do have a faucet that sits upon your sink. Individual customers have to have some care of that. They have to ensure they don't sneeze on it or touch it with raw chicken hands if they're cutting up raw chicken, things like that. So there is potential
They put their mouth
or don't have your cat lick it. That's something like our cats love our RO water. It's like have them love it in a bowl, not out of the faucet.
Love it in a bowl. That's good.
Cats are more sterile than my children.
Yeah.
I've seen Simon. I've seen him. Simon's done it. Everybody loves Simon. That's his son, anyway.
Sorry.
Okay, I thought that was his cat. I'm sorry.
No, they have two cats, but Simon's kind of like a cross between a dog, cat, and, you know, a boy, you know.
He's right. Good.
He's Superman.
Childhood, we all miss it to some extent. but anyway, so the KDF does play that role with killing any biologics that may get in, because biologics on the front end can contaminate the membrane. Biologics on the back end going backwards can contaminate the tank. So we have solutions for both of that if people have concerns with that. But the main concern about tanks, with I've been with the company for 3 years. I joined the family business in January of 16, and I've dealt with hundreds of ROs. Obviously, the company and all the people in it have dealt with thousands. And there are rarely occasions where systems do get contaminated. So I'm not trying to fearmonger by any means about these. You just have to be diligent about how you treat that faucet, knowing that there's pure water coming out. And germs don't know up from down. If you put a germ in any spot, it'll grow in the direction it can grow. But we rarely see it as a problem. And generally, when it becomes a problem, algae forms, and it's noticeable. And customers, the one customer I've ever dealt with that did have an issue, they just said, don't even sanitize the tank, just replace it, and never had a problem since. And that was a relatively new system, not something that was 5, 7, 10 years old that had that issue. So I have a feeling that they accidentally contaminated it.
Your units are taking care of it anyway. And the KDF is amazing for pulling heavy metals out. So you have, the membrane. Of course, you have a pre-filter charcoal, but the KDF is one extra step.
Yes, absolutely. It's about the record. The amount that KDF claims based on their testing is 98%.
Wow.
People would want to say, well, what's 100%? Well, let's look to those funny commercials where they say, hey, this drinking water has an acceptable amount of lead. It's funny and it's true, but we're already talking in the part per billion levels. So when people say, oh, if there's any lead, it's problematic. Well, if you turn part per billion into part per trillion, go back to the example of how many people we're in a football state. Now you have one person in a trillion. The only time we use that number is when we're talking about our national debt. So that's a tremendously small amount that has very little risk there. But we're honest about it. We don't want to make any claims that anything is ever going to take 100% of anything out. There's certain things you can measure, and even measuring devices have their limitations.
So can you walk through this particular unit and just show what each thing takes out
step
and why?
Step?
Yeah, yeah. Sure. I think that would be really great to
okay. Yeah, step by step. Let me get this thing working in place for me here.
I think this is important. And we gave them the cat licking tip. They've never heard that before. I mean,
that's a huge tip.
You know, I mean, the viewers are going to love this, and listeners.
So is that a good positioning there for
that's
visual?
Perfect. It's okay. Perfect.
Okay. So we actually color code our lines too. So what we have is a situation where, okay, so you've got your feed water is essentially coming in here. We don't have a connection here, but this would be where it's coming from your cold water line from under your sink. Mm-hmm. This is a sediment filter taking out the sticks and stones, so to speak, the dirt. There's dirt and water. People generally don't see it, but if you took hundreds and thousands of gallons of water and let it all settle out, there is dirt in your water. They ever have to do work on streets or whatever, they have no way to flush it out. It gets sent to the customers. From the sediment filter, you get into the KDF, as we've discussed, and then enhanced carbon here, which is a higher level than standard coconut carbon, removes VOCs, does an excellent job with chloramines also. From there, this is just an auto shutoff valve to make the system automated. You don't have to turn an RO system on or off. Once the water gets to a certain pressure, as opposed to what's being stored in the tank, it auto shuts off, so you don't perpetually have water going in the drain and waste water. From there, this is a little mini ESF. So this is essentially, an ESF is a system in our whole home system that deals with calcium scale, the hardness, the effects you have in your plumbing, and if anyone's ever experienced that white buildup around their faucets and their shower heads, that's calcium, and that's a natural component of water ripping away at the earth as it passes through the earth in the natural ecological cycle. And that helps put the calcium into suspension and then makes the membrane easier to deal with it. But then we're coming up to the bottom of the membrane. This is essentially the heart, or more specifically the brain of the unit, in the fact that the RO membrane is what's doing all the removal of dissolved solids. About a 90%, 92% removal that is then sending the drain water.
And that takes out all the pharmaceuticals and most, like 90% of the pharmaceuticals and stuff like that, right?
For the most part, what comes through these RO membranes, when you get in the commercial level, you'll be dealing with all 99 to 100% removal, but that's very high pressure pumps and bigger systems. This does about 92%, but what gets through here are generally monovalent ions. You're talking about chloride, and sodium, essentially elements that have one electron floating around them for those that want to take a trip down memory lane back to their chemistry class. But bigger compounds, such as pharmaceuticals, such as chloramines, get blocked and they essentially get sent to the black drain, which comes in this direction. The drain and the product, which I'll get to in a minute, is what drives this permeate pump. But so essentially, I'm trying to get an angle here, the blue lines are then, that's essentially considered the pure water. At that point, a blue line comes off the membrane, off the product side, it splits off, one goes into the alkalinity cartridge, and one goes around it to allow you that bypass if you're choosing not to push all the water through, or you can choose to push all the water through. It's a personal choice on that end. From that point, it goes into the permeate pump. And the permeate pump, the way this and the way this allows the much higher ratio is water will flow to drain more aggressively on standard reverse osmosis units. But in this specific example, water fills voids on either side and then it essentially actuates. So it essentially only will let one third on this side go to drain while three parts essentially are going to product. And then from there, you're on the other half of the shutoff, once again, diaphragm piece. And there's a spot here that is tough to see, that this is where the tank would normally be attached, where there's a storage tank. So you're either coming off the membrane through the system or you're going into the storage tank, but then over here is what goes up to the faucet. So you have enhanced carbon filter on the back end that is purely a polish. It's not doing any heavy lifting because all the contaminants, all the chlorine is already gone, but carbon is a beautiful polish device, and that's why it's used on the back end to just put a polish in case there's any taste that come up, anything from storage in the tank or what have you, and then you've got a clean, delicious water at your faucet.
Yeah, and that's what helps me deal with the polypropylene bladder, you know, because I'm going to go to that level. There might be, they're pretty inert, you know, I mean, polypropylene is a very inert material, but there might be a, you know, a plastic that comes off on there, and the carbon is going to grab those organic compounds that would come off of there, and you know, that makes me happy, you know, knowing that there's nothing left.
I mean, it's the nature of the beast. It's still a man-made material that we have to store water in. We need some kind of a storage device because the speed at which this makes water, even with a 100-gallon per day membrane, nobody wants to sit for 35 seconds to watch their 8 ounces of water fill. They want their water, go glass of water so they can walk away and let the system refill the tank and move on. But it's the same concept where that carbon is put in place to deal with anything that could come off of that tank bladder. And that's where there's short-sightedness when it comes to bottled water. It's like water sits inside of a plastic bottle. I don't care if it's BPA free and whatever other chemicals it claims not to be there, but water sitting in a bottle that goes through hot cold cycles throughout the supply chain. And then by the time you get it and bring it back to your house and then cool into your refrigerator, have it get heated up in your garage, who knows what that plastic is spitting into that water at that point. And there's no way to do anything about it at that point. The last time it was cleaned was when the company bottled it for you.
This unit's one of your, better units, and it's still an under $1,000 unit, correct?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. $995 right now. It's our newest unit too. We wanted to create a slightly different setup. Traditional systems, as you see from a Costco system, I'll just glance quickly at this, are generally in this configuration down here with this one, something along the lines of having housings on the bottom. This is another system that we sell that's even a little bit, a few bells and whistles, a little bit higher end. But as I had mentioned to you, the two of you before the video, that the bang for your buck on this one is what I consider to be the
best. Warren, are we offering any special for our viewers?
Yeah, so you can go to our website, revelationhealth.com /water, and then you can use the code WATER10 to take 10% off of any units that we sell. We sell their all three of their lower quality, if you will, but still better, way better than Costco REO units, plus the that new unit, and then the, what's that one called, the really fancy one?
You talking about the one I just displayed?
Yes.
Or the one on the bottom?
The one on the bottom.
Nature's Balance.
Nature's Balance, okay. And the other one's like DRO or something?
DRO 100.
So DRO, Nature's Balance. That's actually the one. That's the new one. I had my other house, but I just put in that new unit in my house for my new one. And just so you know, those other units, I've changed the filters out twice because that Nature's Balance lasts a long time. Some of those membranes are like 2 to 3 years. Lots of water have to move through there. And there's a little counter on there. Man, I've had those units now for, I have to estimate it 11 years. And I've only had to change the filters out twice in 11 years because I only had, you know, at one point, just my wife and I, right? And then when I had one kid, if a bigger family, you use more water, and that's just how it goes. But you can also call, and this will move into our next part where we look at a whole house unit, because they can actually test your water and see what you need. Is it contaminated with fluoride? You know, those, they can do that in bench chemistry for you. But you can actually give Kyle, his brother, a call. It's a family business. You can call him at 760-734-5787. Tell him you've watched the Cell TV podcast. And they'll give you 10% off the units as well. So
yeah. Actually, we'll put the number, because Warren said that pretty fast. We'll put the number on the screen.
Yep. 760-734-5787. It's showing up right now on the screen. I can see it happening. So the other question is, the KDF does more than just heavy metals. And let's get into the whole house units.
Yeah.
Because they use a lot of KDF. And they do some, your dad has a, I don't know, how many patents does your dad have?
There's just one patent
on that.
On that system. It specifically is what makes it stand out from other systems. I'll walk through the details. Let me try to get this within the shot here. It's difficult because it's a, well, let's see if I go up and down a letter.
Yeah, there it is.
A little bit. Yeah. Let me try to keep an angle here. But so this is a whole home system, and it's reverse dynamic.
No, it looks good. You're good.
This is the type of system that goes on your point of entry on your home. Generally, people have their point of entry in their garage. Older homes have it outside somewhere, but that's the norm. And this system then treats every drop of water coming into the home. So your showers affects all the water going into your appliances, your sinks, etc. The couple things that make this stand out. So just as a quick little history of whole home treatment, traditional water softeners, where somebody is putting salt into a brine tank, were developed to deal with hardness scale. Primarily the fact that calcium that I had mentioned earlier was problematic for plumbing, problematic for fixtures, problematic for appliances, and softeners were developed to deal with those. And they've been around for well over 100 years, or at least pushing 100 years. Well, those systems essentially do an ion exchange. They will take the sodium that comes out of NaCl that's created in that brine solution with that secondary tank, and they will coat a resin with that when it goes through that cycle. And then the calcium knocks the sodium into the water, and then the calcium's captured. And it's essentially an A-B process. Every X number of days, the system will regenerate and put new sodium on there, knock the calcium to drain, and then it captures, and it regenerates and captures and regenerates, on and on and on. And those systems last a decent long time. But the downside is you have to lug the salt in, you have to bring it in, you're putting a lot of sodium into the water supply, you're putting a slight amount of sodium into your drinking water supply in a house before, and this is long before ROs became popular, and you have to waste the water when the system regenerates and backwashes. So once again, water waste, and there's a valve on it that has to change the direction of flow, so items break, they need to be replaced and repaired, and the cost is high. In this day and age, most of the companies out there are competing at a level where they're putting carbon filters, large carbon filters. So pretty much everybody's dealt with a Brita or something small, or a pure filter that goes on a faucet. Just scale that up, essentially. Just scale it up. In the case of the point of use system like a Brita, you just use it up. They give you a capacity, 300 gallons, a certain amount of time, and then you throw it away and you put a new one in. The systems that go on whole homes essentially do have to backwash in a similar fashion to a traditional water softener. And that carbon needs to be lifted up, because in that environment, people think of water and soothing, but it's pretty aggressive environment. And carbon, if it was never backwashed, would be pulverized and turn into powder and essentially evade your plumbing at some point. But once again, valve, power, water to drain. And carbon has about a 50% capacity of KDF in terms of chlorine removal. So an average carbon system of roughly the same size will have to be rebedded in 5 to 7 years. Our system, being the aquifer, is all KDF. That is the primary and the only media we have in there. Deals with heavy metals, is a biocide, kills any biologics that may get through it. That is unusual, because cities, once again, do a great job chlorinating and chlorinating the water tremendously. to ensure there's no biological problems, but there's never a guarantee of anything, especially people that may get surface water certain times of the year. There's growths around areas that pull from lakes, et cetera. And then, and the KDF has, as I mentioned before, 2x capacity. So this system has, we conservatively give a 10 plus year estimate on its life. And for the most part, an example for 2018 is we had two customers come back. They had their first generation aquifer they had purchased in 2002 and 2003. They noticed something weird with the water after 15 and 16 years respectively. And they called, we're like, yep, it's showing a little bit of chlorine. The media is exhausted. And they went on a generation two and they bought their next one. 15 years, a system got installed and didn't need to be touched. They forgot about it. No maintenance, yeah. No wasted water over that period of time. And the portion of it that is patented is called the ESF. It's environmental scale free. That is the system that makes it compete with traditional softeners. Those carbon filters don't deal with calcium scale in any way, shape, or form. Calcium scale will eat away at your copper. There are plumbers that replumb homes after 20 or 30 years, and copper walls are paper thin sometimes. And it's just a matter of time before a pinhole leak occurs and you have a leak behind a wall and your drywall gets destroyed, or even worse, if it's a slab leak or something, depending on the area of the country in which your home is built. But that calcium is essentially put into suspension. It's not removed. It's put into a crystallized form. And as long as it goes to drain within 72 hours, it has no effect. You don't get that calcium buildup and that scaling on your faucets or on your shower fixtures. It makes your appliances generally last about 50 to 100% longer than they normally will, because they're not getting glommed up with that damaging calcium.
Let me give you a testimony to that. I have very hard water here where I live. And the house that I had, we ran our dishes without one of your units, right? We installed the aquifer, and the amount of, I mean, our dishes were white. I'm talking white, ruined. We had to put them in vinegar to just fix them. It was an absolute mess. We didn't put any vinegar into the washer, did nothing, but there was just a little bit of spotting left on the dish using your unit. So that's how effective it was. Now, what I also did is I put like a teaspoon or more than that, probably like a tablespoon of, my wife does. I actually don't load the dishes very often. Every once in a while. When I do it, I dump the whole thing because more is better, right, Dr. Pompa? More is better. More vinegar. Yeah. that got rid of the rest. So this is real. You know, it really does work. It's amazing technology. And you mentioned the KDF, which is very, very expensive raw material. You have to know that. And they put that in to their RO unit, the one that they explained. And so that it's not only getting out the heavy metals, but it's taking out, what percentage of chlorine does the KDF take out again?
99.9%. We don't say 100 because there's the chance that drip of water got past everything without touching media. But
so if you're dealing with the RO unit, you're that 99.9999 chlorine out, like between right. The carbon, the KDF, the RO, you're laughing
when I can't live without my unit, man. I've traveled, like you said, with every house. I have the old black one, remember? You know, it wasn't that nice looking. I want that one. How much is that whole house unit? What do they range?
Well, this is a standard 8, which would be roughly in the, as a list price, in $2,400 range. And then obviously insulation.
That's a deal. Simple.
Plumbers love these systems because they don't have to run a drain line. They don't have to worry about where they're going to find the power to plug into it. It's just an in and out and it's done. Dude. That's 4 and 8. And we scale up based, I mean, these systems are sized based on how many people live in the house and how many full showers are there, because we want to ensure that systems will support the hypothetical situation where you are maxing out everything in the house. You have family visiting over the holidays and you have 3 showers going at once and the dishwasher's running and the washing machine's running and there's 4 sinks running. So every drip of water coming out of those, all of those is treated. Yeah. So we scale it appropriately that way. We won't oversize them either. There's plenty of examples where some of the people in Southern California live in these areas with 10,000 square foot houses and 2 people. And they say, give me the biggest, best thing you've got. We're like, we can't oversize this because you will not get proper water lift just through your usage. And we don't want to create a system that in 5 years isn't as effective because it's channelized and water isn't passing through appropriately. So we're very diligent about that.
You know, the cry for, my cry for everybody to get a whole house unit is more, Warren, remember in the video that we did, that the most toxic appliance in the home is your dishwasher, because all of the toxins actually end up on the dishes that you drink and eat off of. People don't realize that that's a hidden source of contamination. And, you know, the only way you're going to filter that is a whole house system. And that the KDF units and the units you guys have are the best. And talk just a little bit about last thing here, just about why some people might want to test their water, that you would build a unit specifically for their home, which is definitely really good, especially for well water. But tell them about that.
Yeah, I mean, we refuse to give anyone any kind of recommendation for a unit on a well supply unless we do a test, because I said there's exotic dynamic that plays out with wells. When it comes to cities, actually, we don't test people's water. Because the beauty is, one, going back to giving credit to the municipalities, is they do annual well water reports. We can take those water reports, look at their test samples, and this system will handle 99% of the water supplies out there. That's why there's really not much value to it, because we know the cities are bringing it to level X of quality, and we just bring it the last mile in terms of improving it from there. So there's rarely a situation where we need that. Some people have unique situations where they live in community wells or something, where it might be a mix of city and a mix of well water. And then we will look at it from that perspective, but it's, this system is meant for municipal supplies. We don't put it on well supplies, obviously, because it doesn't deal with things in coming out of
there. Yeah, and if you have a well, then you'll build it specifically for that, the water.
Remember talking to your dad the other day, and they even work with, like, they're putting a unit in, and they don't have much pressure, so they put pressure pumps in. They'll work with you to make sure that your toilets are flushing, your showers are good one, because there's a pressure drop. They can more complicated, you know, systems like that with your well. His dad's an engineer, you know, so they really know this stuff, and they're the best kept secret, Dr. Pompa. Everyone else is out there, you know, talking about their water filters on Facebook and putting up Facebook ads and saying, get this, because it's a must have. Like, water, save up, get that. You're eating organic food and you're polluting yourself with all this stuff. It makes no sense.
No.
None at all. So give these guys a call. You know, we got the phone number. Sell TV, 10% off on that $2,400 unit. You save $240. That's awesome. I mean, that's going to last 10 to 15 years. That's I don't want to do the math, but you know, it's $100 a year or something like that. You know, I mean,
actually, so many people watching this that they think, oh, I can't afford that. They're buying bottled water, and we don't have time to get into that. So many issues.
And plastic, and you're drinking out of plastic. I mean, my kids, and you're the same way, Dan. And you threw away all their plastic. They're drinking out of glass, breaking glass. Like, water is a non-compromisable thing. You know, I mean, feminization of boys and girls and hormone issues and behavior problems and autism, and you can just go on and on how sensitive children are today we're feeding them this water. Like, when I hear some, I'll just have tap, I cringe. And I'm not the most anal gal out there.
I go out to dinner with people, I judge them.
I've been feminized, Dr. Pump. I just called myself a gal. I'm from drinking plastic as a kid.
I have to end with this, you know. Thanks for your service. You're a military guy. You're an army guy. Appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, I was. Long time ago. It's been quite a few years, 13 years since I separated. But yeah, it was an honor to do it.
That's awesome, Ryan.
More people need to appreciate that. Well, Ryan, thank you. Just a wealth of knowledge, you and your family there, and family-owned business, man. We love supporting you guys. We love your units. So thanks for being on the show, finally.
Yes, thank you so much for having us. As, like, you made a good point. We are, our Achilles heel is the fact we are too much of a well-kept secret, and we're trying to change that.
Yeah, thank send our love to your dad and Ryan and your mom, and just really thank you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You got it, man.
Well, that's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to check out our show notes if you would like more information about the Dime water treatment systems. We'll be back next week and every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. We truly appreciate your support. You can always find us at cellularhealing.tv. And please remember to spread the love by liking, subscribing, giving an iTunes review, or sharing the show with anyone who may benefit from the information heard here. And as always, thanks for listening.